you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up next hour, former LAPD Chief Bill Bratton will be with us, talk about his new memoir. We'll also take a look at something we're hearing a lot these days, people saying they're quitting their jobs or they're just not going to go back to the kind of work-life lack of balance that they had pre-pandemic. So we're going to hear from listeners what they really think about that and whether that's going to be a lasting effect of the pandemic, or is this similar to a New Year's resolution where people say that their lives have been completely changed when it comes to work, but we end up in our old habits as things return more to normal. That's coming up next hour on Air Talk right here on KPCC. My pleasure to welcome back to the program weekly contributor with her expertise on COVID-19 and vaccination, UC Irvine School of Medicine professor Dr. Shruti Gohil. She's also Associate Medical Director for Epidemiology and Infection Prevention. Dr. Gohil, welcome back.
Great to be back. Thanks.
Let's talk first about the continuing rise in the Delta variant, first identified in India. Here in California, as well as elsewhere in the U.S. and other parts of the world, the good news, it does seem that the vaccines that have been approved are handling the Delta variant quite well, but it seems there's much cause of concern for those who aren't vaccinated. Please elaborate on that degree of risk.
Yeah, it does seem that this new variant is more likely to be transmitted, seems more transmissible by a way of the newer infections that we're seeing in other parts of the world when this new variant gets introduced to the population. What's really nice, as you mentioned, is that the vaccinated individuals, we really do have good cross-reactivity of our protective antibodies amongst those who are vaccinated. So that's really great. So we may not see the huge amounts of transmission that we saw earlier when we had a totally naive, immune-naive population when COVID first hit the scene. But certainly this is yet another indication that we should all get vaccinated as high population of vaccination as much as possible.
I also wanted to talk about the lasting immunoresponse from the vaccines. UCLA researchers just publishing a study looking at what happens for those who got just one vaccination shot after having contracted COVID-19, what the immune response and how long it lasts. In looking at that result, what stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, first of all, when you have a vaccine that has a potential, you know, it's all been studied as a 2-vaccine dose. So if you've been infected before and you get your first vaccine, the amount of antibody that you do immediately generate seems to be high, you know, high as those who get 2 vaccines and never got infected. So that's nice to see. But they did see a rate of decay of the antibody levels, especially if you have more mild disease compared to severe disease. If you were mildly infected or asymptomatic and then you get your first shot, your antibody are less likely to be present at a longer level as opposed to those who got 2 vaccine doses. So that's yet another chip in favor of you getting 2-dose vaccines. But overall, the preponderance of data seems to show that if you get even 1 vaccine after a prior infection, that you are protected. I don't think anybody's ready to move to saying that you only need 1 vaccine. You still are recommended to have 2 vaccine series.
We're also seeing across the country that for those who are hospitalized with COVID-19, overwhelmingly, these are unvaccinated people. So this is terrific news. Yes, there are some breakthrough cases that end up as serious. But it's amazing the small percentage of those, given the millions of people now vaccinated.
Yep. Yeah, it's very good news, actually. Yep.
Dr. Shruti Gohil with us to answer your questions. She's from UC Irvine Medical School. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Let's talk a bit about the upcoming 4th of July holiday, which is the weekend, of course, after this coming one. Should people be considering where they travel to at all based on rates of COVID-19?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that's, I think that would be wise, particularly if you're unvaccinated or immunocompromised or you have some reason for concern. Yeah, I do think, you know, it's nice to be in a state like California where you do have amongst all the other states the highest vaccination rate. So yeah, if you're preferentially choosing and you're, say you're a senior citizen and you have other health issues, maybe I would think a little harder about where I go.
All right. Also, any other advice you have about going out to large crowds, let's say theme parks or stadiums or things like that over the 4th of July weekend when so many people do more outdoor things like that, things people should keep in mind for their own safety?
Yeah, I do think that people need to really remember that we are not completely out of the woods. Yes, Delta virus variants have been found. And so using common sense and measures, it always seems to boil down to that. So even if you're vaccinated, you know, do follow hand hygiene. And masking outdoors is not necessary per se. But if you're in a large crowd, like in Disneyland, and you're with a lot of people who could be travelers from all over the place, it makes sense to put a mask on if you're, especially if you're waiting in line with a lot of people in a closed space. So you want to be able to have access to all the protective mechanisms, keep hand hygiene on in your pockets, and keep a mask in the pocket so you can slap that on whenever you think that you might be in a risk type scenario.
What about with kids, the majority of whom are not yet vaccinated? You know, often we see over long weekends like this, bounce houses and rental slides and things like that as people have big summer parties. Any advice, particularly with parties that are kid-centric?
Ooh, good question. You know, I think that right now we happen to be in a place where the amount of virus transmission seems low enough that we should feel comfortable engaging in activities that seem more and more like normal life. I think that that is a safe thing to do and safe thing to say. But the same issues apply. So, for example, if you are going to a kid-centric location or a party, if you're sick or if you notice other people are sick in any way, because there are things other than cold, right? There's other viruses that are already floating around. You know, either don't go, or stay, and you notice somebody else is sick, then protect yourself. You know, use hand hygiene and keep your distance from another sick individual. Sometimes you really can't tell because there people are asymptomatic. So in that scenario, sure, is it wise to really, you know, engage in your activities, but still do your hand hygiene before and after, and don't eat before you have cleaned your hands, and wear a mask if you think it's really getting crowded indoors? That's probably wise to do, but at this rate, we are low enough to, we should feel comfortable doing certain activities like that.
Carla in Huntington Beach asks, in households where the parents are fully vaccinated, is there any risk that they could pass on COVID-19 to their unvaccinated young children?
Yeah, this has been a question that's come up actually a couple of times, even from patients. So that's an interesting thing. I wonder if there's something going around. And we should understand that what the point of the vaccine really is about, if you were to get infected, your ability to shed a virus, if infected, should be dramatically low. And yes, that is exactly what we're finding. In fact, that the vaccine does work, and you can have very little to no transmission if you've been vaccinated. So you shouldn't be worried about that possibility as much. The vaccine works.
Neil in Santa Monica asks, is there any evidence to show that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is less effective against the Delta variant?
No, there's no evidence to show that, but we have evidence that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been, in general, less effective, right? So 70% efficacy compared to the mRNA vaccines, which are in the mid-90s. So that, knowing that, coupled with the fact that we know that the mRNA vaccines have dropped their efficacy against a Delta virus, maybe 70 to 80%, still effective, but, and that's pretty darn good number, 70 to 80%, you can imagine that the J&J vaccine would be potentially, would take a hit as well. So I think it's safe to say that probably is, but I haven't personally seen data to corroborate for sure.
Bruce in Irvine, you're on Air Talk with Dr. Gohill.
Hi, doctor. My question is, my wife and I and the whole family's been vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, both doses, and we started to relax our vigilance in terms of not being masked outside and starting to eat in restaurants. But with the Delta variant, should we be concerned again and reinstate our same level of vigilance that we had before by wearing masks almost all the time when we're outside?
Yeah, no, you know, I think that the rate of transmission so far seems okay. We think we should stay on guard about the Delta virus variant. If you are vaccinated, the cross-reactive antibodies seem appropriate enough to avoid sort of a dramatic illness from COVID. So that is really good news. Should you I think that the mask ordinance has come off at this point. You are safe right now to continue practice without masks. So unvaccinated, vaccinated individuals do not need to be masked. I think it's still safe to do that. But again, if you're in a crowded area where you expect to be in contact with travelers or many people who could be unvaccinated, should you put a mask on? I think that's probably wise. The rates so far, everybody's watching very carefully. And in fact, every COVID positive is getting analyzed for its genome. And that type of activity will allow us to pick up on increased rates of this Delta variant. Right now, the rate doesn't seem high enough to where I would make a blanket statement that you need to act differently.
Well, and also in response to Bruce's question, I think you were talking about this earlier, Dr. Gohill, particularly the mRNA vaccines are showing tremendous success, robustness against that Delta variant. So it's not like the variant at this point is showing any ability to somehow get around those vaccines.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah, well said.
Bruce, appreciate it very much. You know, it's funny on the masking thing. I went to the car wash a couple of days ago, and I had been on vacation last week in Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado, and almost no one wore a mask. I got used to not wearing my mask. I walk into the car wash, and I'm the only one without a mask. It's fascinating. This is just 2 days ago. Everybody had a mask on. And so, you know, clearly for a lot of people, they're still keeping it up. It's a part of their daily habit. They're not ready to be indoors with other people without wearing a mask. And I'll be interested, Dr. Gohill, to see how long that lasts as these COVID rates stay very low.
Yeah, I am too. I have to admit that I am in the same boat where I do go outside without a mask and I feel like, maybe it needs to be more than half of the people wearing masks. And, you know, you never know what their vaccine status is or what their underlying health issues are that propel them to do that. Yeah. And I think it's reasonable transition, I guess, phase that we're going through.
Well, and I'm glad that people feel free to do it because I have acquaintances who are concerned that they would be shamed or made to feel bad for wearing a mask out when that's what they feel most comfortable with. And so I'm glad that people, at least many people that I'm seeing, are not feeling inhibited in that and do feel comfortable with wearing a mask for whatever the reason is that provides greater comfort for them. Dr. Gohill, thank you so much, as always, for being with us. I look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Thank you.
Dr. Shruti Gohill, UC Irvine School of Medicine. She's professor and associate medical director for epidemiology and infection prevention. Coming up on Air Talk, how you navigate your finances in your relationship. Do you combine finances? Do you keep them separately? Do you provide each other with allowances to control spending and stay within a budget? I want to hear from you. How do you handle it? Particularly if it's evolved. You made a shift that you found worked better for you and your partner. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Finding the way that works best for handling a couple's finances. That's our topic next on Air Talk, back in 90 seconds.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.